Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, President of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I have a wonderful chiropractor in the profession, an educator in the profession who's doing some really, really important work with infant health, mother health too, because it's all part of the game. And I'm just thrilled to have her on. I have Dr. Lynn Gerner on. Hi, Lynn. Good to see you.
Hi, Ron.
Great to see you. I'll give you a little bit of brief history about Lynn. Lynn graduated from a college in Northern California, Life Chiropractic College West. I know that college.
I think that was the one.
I know that college. So she graduated from Life West in 2004, spent a few years in Santa Cruz taking care of people, and finally landed, not finally, but landed in Davis. And she's been in Davis for like the past 15 years. She's just doing amazing things. Her practice is just exploding in Davis with infants. She teaches all over the world. She's teaching with the ICPA. She does her own thing. She has seminars that she does. She actually does them, I think, with Life West, right?
Some of them.
Yep, some of them. Good, perfect. And she's we have to get all of them. And she's just doing amazing things. And what we're going to talk about today is going to be really interesting about breastfeeding, tongue tie, things that every chiropractor should hear, but actually every parent should hear, because or someone wanting to become a parent, right? It's just important. She's been certified in lactation. She did the first. I asked her if she was a diplomat in the ICPA. And she said, I'm a diplomat before they did diplomats. That's when they were ICPAs, right? And a fellow. And it's just, that's how deep Lynn goes. So she's got a wealth of knowledge. And Lynn, I'm really excited to get moving on this conversation. So you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go. One of the things I want to talk about, first of all, is let's talk about women's health, women and infant health, because it's coming to light right now, obviously, right?
Yes.
You know, it was ignored for many years. I can go back to my mom in the 50s and 60s. I mean, my God, she was the last person to go to the doctor after, all of, her kids went and her husband and everything else. And, I remember, Lynn, they told my mom that she had breast cancer. We'll get into it later if we have time. But like at those days, women were just saying, okay, whatever you got to do, can I clean the house first? And, I mean, there was no education going toward women, and I'm so thrilled that this is the stuff that you're doing and infants, right? I mean, I don't know if you experienced that, but I'm just thrilled about what you're doing.
It's a huge topic, obviously. And in my little niche, I say this frequently, I mean, to students and parents, we're meeting women at a very vulnerable time in their lives, because I think you have children, right, Ron?
I have three.
Yeah, I do too.
I got granddaughters. I got grandkids.
I'm not blessed that way yet.
You will, but I'm proud of it. You will.
Yeah. Yeah. However, when we work with, we're going to talk about breastfeeding as we go on here. When we work with that scenario, we are meeting women and families at a desperate time in their life, and having a newborn, even under the best of circumstances, you're not sleeping. If that baby's not eating well or sleeping well, these moms really need our help. So this is something that I take a lot of pride in helping women with.
Well, I'm thrilled about it because, I'll just tell you, one of my daughters, she had problems with maybe latching. I'm not exactly sure exactly what it was, with one of my grandchildren. And she was going through postpartum depression, didn't know it. I mean, how do you know you got postpartum depression, but it's so, just what happens with people, with women, with their hormones, that kind of stuff. And if it wasn't for, someone talking to her about this and multiple people, working her through it, I mean, that could have made the difference between breastfeeding and not breastfeeding. And then you talk about the difference between the health of a child and the nourishment of a child, you know, because they haven't come up with a formula yet that I think would pass any of our, you know, any of our tests. So you can do your own and make your own stuff, but still nothing's better than what's made in the human body, right?
Absolutely. And to add to that, I think most all of us know that. But one thing I love to remind people about is, gosh, we could go for hours about all the challenges that our kids have in this generation. And just breastfeeding your child causes them to have so much more emotional health as well. There's a lot of studies on that, and it's a beautiful thing. So meeting families at the beginning, the babies at the beginning of their life, to set them up, you know, not only nutritionally, but emotionally is precious.
Yeah. You know, Lynn, I do a lot of work in India right now, the college does, and Tonga, and we go to these places, and it's just, you know, it's getting more common in the States to see women breastfeeding, you know, in hotel lobbies and in airports.
Hopefully, yes.
It is, but they're still covering, you know, and when you go to these countries, they're not even covering. It's just like, it's just such a normal part.
As it should be.
Of the Absolutely. I mean, my gosh, I mean, we can look at it from a paradigm of, you know, we don't know why women have milk. They shouldn't have them, like the tonsils, right? You know, it's just something that happens and we just got to get, or this is such a natural process. And even to this day, you know, I've seen, you know, I've been around places in the States where other people go, can you stop breastfeeding your child in front of me? I was sitting at a hotel, I don't know where I was just recently, and waiting to get on the plane, that area, and that came up. And I felt like I didn't want to protect the woman. It's not my job to do that. I don't want to victimize her. But I felt like saying, dude, she can breastfeed anywhere she wants to. And anyways, it's the baby that we're looking at, right? It's right. Just, it's interesting. But attitudes are changing, you know?
Attitudes are changing. I think hopefully they have changed in the present. And because of that, there's a lot of focus, fortunately, on supporting that breastfeeding relationship. Lactation consultants in the hospital and pediatricians, and now as we move into the whole tongue tie subject that we will, dentists. So there's a lot of people paying a lot of attention to this. And so chiropractic is a great part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there's a lot of chiropractors who are specializing in children, and they're adding this to their practice. And they're just exploding because women don't have a place to go. I mean, you can go to a lactation specialist, but if you can be in a group in an office and have a doctor there being able to work with this and help this. So talk about the challenges. Like what are like the women that come in and talk to us about that.
Okay. So there's several challenges, but I think the first one, which we were starting to allude to, is that unfortunately, even though I consider this to be a no-brainer. I mean, it's anatomy. It's just anatomy. But it's the medical profession just doesn't connect the dots. So when a baby is having breastfeeding challenges, unfortunately, the lactation consultant in the hospital or even privately, they just don't know about the specific anatomy. I have classes for lactation consultants too, for that reason, to try to teach them. But unless they are taught out of the box, unless they find us on social media, unless that particular lactation counselor knows more than the average bear, they're not going to find the help that they need, probably, because most of the challenges in breastfeeding are with the baby. Yeah. And again, it's just anatomy, but they're just not taught that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that there's also the, like you alluded to, the emotional component.
Yes.
So it's a nourishing emotional support, but on the other side of it, you know, a mom that doesn't have support, doesn't know, feels like she doesn't know what she's doing, doesn't trust the process, the stress that can build up, you know, postpartum depression, hormonal change, whatever you want. I don't like to label that, but whatever you want to call it. You know, that can affect it also, right?
Because
it's just that comfort, that bonding. And I think, you know, you alluded to it before when you said that, you know, the emotional support for a child, it's the bonding that they have with their with their mom, right? And it's just such a beautiful thing. So
it is.
So like in the medical world, you know, and I know they do the best that they can with what they have, obviously, but if someone was having a problem, they go through the conventional, we'll call it, which I think we're conventional, right? To me, they're radical.
Should be, right?
They're radical,
right?
Yeah. That's how I hold it, you know?
Right.
What would they find there? Like, what would it just be? We'll just stop breastfeeding or, you know?
So yes, sometimes. And then this is kind of a segue into that big, huge topic nowadays, which is tongue tie. And I put it like that because it's really misunderstood. I have the honor right now of working pretty closely with some docs in the ICPA to really define what that is and how we can support that. But tongue tie is all over social media. And I think what I see, unfortunately, and I think a lot of docs would agree with me, that a baby's having a hard time breastfeeding. The lactation consultant isn't really trained to identify anatomy. And so they look in the mouth a little bit and like, oh, the baby's got a tongue tie. Let's go get that clipped or, you know, lasered or cut, whatever you want to say. And so it's so unfortunate that so many babies go straight for the surgery, right, and they don't have the subluxation, right, corrected.
Yeah.
And that's what we're missing. That's what the medical community is missing. And that's what our job is, I think, is to get the word out there that baby needs an adjustment.
Right. So for our non-chiropractic viewers and even our chiropractic viewers, explain if you could just, you know, tongue tie so they understand the anatomy behind it.
So I'm smiling because I know we need to keep this brief. So I teach a 12-hour seminar on this.
I know. I'm not going into the 12. We just want a high level. But let's say, because as you said, a lot of people are having a lot of definitions around it, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So, you know.
So like the nitty gritty, and actually even in my class, I call it nitty gritty anatomy. The bottom line Cliff Notes answer is that all of the muscles of the tongue are attached to the structure. So this stems in the baby's position in utero. It stems in the birth process. You know, we all see babies coming out and going like that, you know, and their little spine is cartilage. Their little cranium is not fused. It's very mobile and flexible. And so it's very easy to have the structures like the jaw, like the palate, like the neck that are misaligned. And all of those structures pull and tug on the muscles of the tongue. And then you have tethered oral tissues. And so it looks and maybe acts like a congenital tie, which does exist. And that's a whole nother topic. But the majority of the dysfunction is because of the connections of all of that.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And also, of course, let's not forget the neurology, because the cranial nerves are blending and traveling through that structure. And those cranial nerves can't function properly either. So you have a weak tongue and you have a jaw that doesn't open right. And you have a neck that can't turn and it snowballs.
Yeah. So then when people go, quote unquote, the conventional route, right? They'll usually either have a clipping or a laser or something like that, correct? And they go where? They go just under the tongue, right?
Well, it can be under the tongue, it can be at the cheeks, or it can be under the top lip.
Yeah. And so and what they're saying is that their tongue's not able to thrust, they can't suck well. I mean, this is kind of what they're trying to fix with this, right? And
yes. And
neurologically, emotionally, this type of procedure, what kind of effects does that have on a child?
So
actually,
it's of course it's all over the board. So you know, one little fact that I want to throw out, and I don't, do you know my friend Dr. Drew Rubin?
Of course,
you know Drew.
So absolutely.
So Drew just released a course in the ICPA on the congenital, the genetic form of the tie, where there's actually shortened tissue, and why that exists. And from he says something that just blew me away. He said that in the last 15 years or so, there's been a 835% increase of diagnosis of tongue tie and surgery. So if that were to be true, we'd be looking at the biggest genetic disaster of all time. So obviously where I'm going with this is that it's just misunderstood. So if that baby doesn't have, the buzz term is body work, we know it as adjustments to clear out the nervous system, to balance the structure, and they just go straight to the surgery, sometimes there's some improvement, but I see either there's no improvement because the structure's not, hasn't been worked on. Sometimes they can get worse again because that structure has not been addressed. And then long term, of course, there's developmental issues because that baby really needed the adjustment, the underlying correction.
Right. Right. Has anyone looked at, you know, the psychological effect or on a child when they have a procedure like that?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if there's actual, there might be some studies. I'm not aware of them, but I can tell you, practicing the way that I do and seeing a lot of these infants, I have seen over and over again, if the primary issue was more neurological and structural, I can see the babies, they can refuse the breast after that. They can be traumatized. Certainly the parents can be traumatized too, because there's exercises where the parents have to, for approximately 6 weeks, do stretches that reopen that wound. And it can be a very traumatizing process. I also want to be clear though, because this is another thing that, I don't know, is a little sensitive. And sometimes I've been confronted on it, or I should say questioned on it. The genetic form does exist. So I'm not trying to say that the surgical release is never a good thing and it's right. never necessary.
Right.
Because sometimes it's very helpful, very, very helpful. I'm just saying that probably 75 to 90% of the time, that baby's primary subluxation is structural and neurological.
Absolutely. And, you know, and there's no one else looking at the subluxation.
No.
Except chiropractors, you know.
Right.
And I will tell you this. I mean, I was on the phone with Monica Berger just today.
Actually. Yeah.
You know,
she's great.
Monica's doing a ton of work, you know, and with neurodevelopment, you know,
yes.
and children and neurodevelopmental disorders and stuff of that. And she is just, as you know, she's fabulous. She came to me talking about a course on tongue tie and on neurodevelopmental issues, you know, and she has dentists who want to teach. And, you know, there's people who are joining onto this and they know to send these infants to the chiropractors.
And do you know why they know that? It's because doctors have to get out there and tell them what we do, because in general, they don't understand what we do.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I mean, isn't that the truth in everything in the world, right? You know, people won't do what's right for them if they don't understand or even don't even know there's an answer there. And that's where this lactation, you know, comes in also, because if we can start teaching the lactation experts about this, in my mind, I think that every, you know, and I may be, you know, but I this will be one day, maybe not while I'm alive, but it will be one day that every obstetrician or every midwife or every whatever, the minute that baby's born, there'll either be a chiropractor there or good. Now we've got to go. So part of the birth plan is what chiropractor is going to check this baby.
Won't that be great?
Yeah. And it'll be there. You know, we have to
put it there. And sending the mom before she has the baby to the chiropractor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's the whole cycle. But the other piece is like, you know, they go to a lactation specialist, and since we're not at that point yet, right? And they go to a lactation specialist. And, you know, to me, the first thing I would be saying as a lactation specialist, when we start to educate them, is that, you know, who's your chiropractor?
Yeah.
And regardless if they're latching or not, I mean, there's all these subluxations, cranial issues, all these things that can come about. And, you know, if we're looking at the total health of this child, right, the mother child, because it's a bond either way, because when that child's not doing well, the mom ain't doing well. Let's face it.
Absolutely.
Right? And then, you know,
I would add dad to that, too. Let's not leave dad out.
Absolutely. But 100%. Yeah. The dad's doing worse. I want you to know, because they feel powerless and they're like they're a spectator to it on some level. But the mom, where you start seeing the physiological reactions where they start drying up and, you know, all kinds of things start happening. And, you know, we have to realize that emotional component is so important. Right.
And there's a short window to correct it too. And I want to back up just a second.
Yeah.
I should say partner. you know, in this day and age, I'd rather say partner than dad,
Okay,
you know.
perfect.
However, yes, and that's another thing that's critical in this for every parents and doctors to know is that this is a short window of time to do this correction. Because just like what you said, that if this doesn't get corrected quickly, then gosh, issues of supply and issues of just learned habits of feeding, this can go downhill pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So
they don't connect the dots, do they?
Who doesn't?
Just the mom, the wherever they go, there's the mother's support system. Because I think that in that time period, when we get to that place and the baby's not doing well, and you've got what I just heard you say was this cascade effect where things start taking place, right? And it could be from, you know, nourishment to everything else that goes down. They don't have the answer, and their support
right.
system doesn't know
right.
how to support them in the right direction.
Right.
They're saying, well, maybe you got to go here, maybe you got to go there. And once again, we know that these are symptoms. They're real
right.
They're symptoms, but we're not getting to the cause.
Exactly. So either commonly, either the baby is sent straight for the surgery or they just stop trying and it's formula after that.
Yeah, it's just sad. And, you know, and the other piece, I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, it really, I'm telling you right now, it needs to be in it needs to be in the educational process, right? And
yes.
That means in my seat, it needs to be taught at the colleges, right? Or I don't know about the colleges. It depends if someone wants to accept that, but it needs to be taught at my college, because this is stuff that's so important, and our students will understand it and get it. And it's not like they have to go for, you know, 20 years to learn how to do this, but which I want to get into that in a little bit. But I guess the question I have for you then is this. So, you know, we start working with the cranium, and we know everything else starts happening too, right? Whether it's a jaw, cranium, palate, you know, check the cervical spine, you know, check wherever you checked on subluxate that child. And, you know, and then we know that the health is going to start returning, whether they're tongue tied or not, right? Doesn't really matter.
Right.
Every kid should still be getting this, every newborn and infant, and, you know, up till about from womb to the tomb. That's what I say. When these children don't have that, have you seen any children give us some examples of some cases that you've had come in your office where they weren't led in the right direction? They didn't seek the medical route.
Yeah.
They just didn't do anything.
Well, obviously there's a range. So, I mean, I could go on for hours with examples. One that comes to my mind that would be on the extreme range of what was obvious. I remember this little guy because I keep in touch with his parents still, who had severe cranial issues that were obviously not identified by the medical community. He not only was not able to breastfeed well, eventually had to have what's called an NG tube, where that's kind of a severe go-to in the medical world. If the baby's not feeding, that where the baby is only fed through a tube, talk about not getting any emotional bonding right. with that. We were able to get the baby off of the NG tube and at least nursing well enough to not need it. But this baby also had seizures. So there were a lot of challenges with this particular little guy, and the parents were driving almost 2 hours each way to come see me because the adjustment was the only thing that gave them at least a period of time of correction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still seeing this little guy, and he's about 2 years old now. Mm-hmm. But if we go to the other opposite end of the spectrum, And I think this is what people can relate to, is what happens if the baby isn't showing any specific or any severe things like that. What happens is that baby will adapt to the subluxation that is in their body. That baby will perhaps not be able to breastfeed or not breastfeed for a very long time. So, of course, you know, we've got emotional, we've got nutritional detriments, but there is still subluxation in that nervous system. And so the baby will adapt and crawl differently, walk differently, interact with their environment differently. And then that leads down to, I'm sure what Monica Berger talks about is, because I know she does, because I've taken her courses, is the developmental issues that we're seeing with our children that are off the charts. And it all starts with birth positioning, birth trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Here's my vision. Just listening to you talk, the vision is that every chiropractor educates the other healthcare providers and
yes.
support systems, like, you know, lactation specialists,
yes.
and educates them.
Yes.
About infant health. This is one topic in that education, but
right.
educates them. And I don't think we'll ever have to worry about seeing another patient again. And, you know, where the next patient's coming from, right? You know, because, but it's our job. It's our duty. If what we're about is
right.
creating a brighter future for humanity.
You yes. know,
it doesn't start with the 60-year-olds. It starts with the newborns or pregnant. You know?
And I really want to say for a second, too, that it's not hard. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm still passionate about teaching, is that I find that when we get into cranial work and this real specific topic, numerous doctors have talked to me and said that they were just confused. They were overwhelmed. They thought it was too hard. It's too complicated. It's not. It's really not. It's just anatomy. Yeah. And that's why people that know me, I'm an anatomy geek. I love it. And I love teaching it so simply that people go, oh my gosh, I can do that. It's not hard.
Right. I know. You know what? You are such a breath of fresh air. Lynn, thank you. I mean, you know, we could go on for hours, but we got to end at some point. But
okay.
I'll be remiss. We will not end until you share where can people learn this.
Okay.
Like, you know, yeah. Give us some resources that they can go
okay.
to.
And I'll just say for 3 seconds that they do need to have special training. They
yeah.
do need this. This is specialty work. It's not the average visit. So to receive that special training, of course, I teach privately. I'll give you my web address. It's thegoodlifelearning.com.
Oh, right, mm-hmm.
Yep. So I have pre-recorded courses available online that do have CE units available. Wherever anybody wants to host me, if you can grab a group of 20, 30 docs, I'll fly out there and I'll teach. I also teach with the ICPA. And so actually next month, I'll be out at Sherman in Spartanburg. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Andrew Doro and I are going to be teaching the breastfeeding and TOTS course with the ICPA there. Then that's going to be pre-recorded. So the ICPA will have also a course coming out pretty soon that's going to be pre-recorded as well.
So there's a lot, there's resources that people
yes.
go to.
Oh, and I teach at Life West too. So,
there you go.
You know,
and you're doing license renewal, you're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things happening. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was an honor.
Thank you. It's just, you know, we have so much to offer, you know, the community, so much to offer, you know, pregnant moms and newborns and you know, all the way up, right, womb to the tomb. And it's so nice to hear, you know, so refreshing. I had Drew on the show and you know, Drew was just incredible. And Marty Rosen,
he's my mentor. I mean, this
Marty.
Is where I started with my training.
Yeah, ask Marty how far we go back, you know, because when Marty came to Massachusetts, I was there and we were in school together. I was a year ahead of him. And anyways, just wonderful. Him and Nancy, just phenomenal. So there's so many great people and so much great wisdom to be able to share with others. And I'm so thrilled that you're sharing it. So thank you, first of all, and thank you for doing what you're doing and being a warrior and traveling and giving of yourself selflessly to do this. It's super, super, just I'm inspired, you know? So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a blessing.
Yeah. And I don't even know how to wrap this up. I mean, it's kind of like, boom, but we will wrap it. Wow. That's what I can say. Please share this with people, share this with the pregnant women and your, you know, the pregnant, just the mothers to be, you know, and then anybody, I mean, truthfully, anyone who's got infants, it's just so powerful because somebody knows somebody who knows somebody, right? And we have to be able to get this message out so that, you know, these children, you know, they might think the answer might be to have some kind of procedure done, you know, whether it's intervention, but it doesn't get to the cause of the problem. And that's what we're talking about. So there's so much to do here. But to our audience, thanks for being with us again. I mean, you know, these Life West Leadership Lines are just truly amazing. And we drop these every other week, the opposite weeks we do our Life by Life West. I'm just thrilled that you keep coming back. Our viewership is so high right now. And it's because of you. You know, it's because of you. It's not me. It's not Lynn, though I bring on phenomenal guests that make me look good. But it's just, you know, you guys are spreading it, passing it around. And, you know, this should go to every parent in your office, you know, that if you're a chiropractor, and if you're not a chiropractor, send this to your friends, because it's just so, so important that people hear this message and know that there's answers to problems before they have to occur, right? And that's probably the most important thing. So thanks for being with us, Lynn, again. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate you. And everyone else, until we bid you adieu, just keep loving those around you, hugging those children, bonding with people, and making sure that, you know, you're having that heart-to-heart connection with people, because that's really what makes this world go round. So until I come back at you, Lynn and I would like to say goodbye, and we'll see you next time on either a Life West Leadership Line or Life by Life West. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.